Well, it's really good to be here with you guys this morning. And I'm not sure if this was planned at all, but that song goes perfectly into my message this morning. That we are supposed to be surrendering all to Jesus, not just some, but all. And before I start this morning, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the ability to come together this morning and just worship with one another. How great a blessing it truly is to do that. You've prepared this message so much through speaking through me. Allow your words to continue on, not being hindered by myself, but allow it to just fill each and every one of us and allow us to follow after you. In your Son's precious name, amen. In 1904, 16-year-old William Borden graduated high school, a wealthy heir to the Borden-Derry fortune. His gift was a trip to Asia, the Middle East, and Europe. And I have to say, I'd be glad if that was my graduation present. But through this trip, he felt a strong burden for the hurting people of the world. He wrote home about his desire to be a missionary, but a friend wrote back to Borden saying he was throwing himself away. Borden's response was two written words on the back of his Bible: no reserves. We'll return to this story a little bit later this morning, but how great of an example is this for us today? We are supposed to be living with no reserves. Most non-Christians would get the sense that Christians are supposed to give everything that they have. And I would say even most of you today say that you would be giving everything that you have over to Christ. But I'm challenging you guys this morning, is that truly the way we live in the society today? Are we truly living a life without any reserve and following Christ? We all do want to say we want to follow Christ wherever he is going. But what happens when he's telling you to follow after him and it's not in your plans for life? What if he's calling you to change your job? What if he's calling for you to change where you live? What if he's calling you to do something that you have no desire to and you feel really uncomfortable doing? This morning, we're going to look at a passage where three people said that they wanted to follow Christ, but didn't go all the way. I'm going to ask you guys to turn with me to Luke 9, starting the 57th verse. And here we will see the true cost of following Jesus. And allow me to sort of fill you in on what these people would have known about Jesus at this point in time. We have to understand that they didn't really know the end of the gospel story. They didn't know about Jesus being crucified. They did not know about him being raised on the third day. And then they didn't know about the future church and how the gospel would be spread. All they knew about Jesus was that he was a great teacher and rabbi, claiming to be the Son of Man, and also had the power to do great miracles. Many wanted to follow Jesus to see where this was all going, but they did not want to be punished if things went wrong. So with that in our minds, let us read Luke 9, starting in verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I want to follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to rest his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I want to follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." At first glance, these answers seem extremely harsh. Let the dead bury their own dead. Anybody who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for God. To understand really what was going on, we have to understand who these people were. The first man that wanted to follow Jesus replied that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. To understand Jesus' response, we first have to understand who Jesus was talking to here. And in a parallel passage in the book of Matthew, we find out that the man that Jesus was talking to was a scribe. Now, we don't have scribes nowadays, but back in Old Testament time and at the beginning of the New Testament, a scribe was a Jew who had to copy the Old Testament text from one scroll to another. That sort of seems like a repetitive idea for us and seems mundane, but they didn't have the luxury of just pulling out their smartphone whenever they wanted to access the Word of God. The paper that they wrote on would deteriorate quickly over time, and if they didn't copy the text over and over again, they would lose the word. And even though they would just be copying the text, they would have to read it every single time they went through it. So behind the rabbis of the day, the scribes were considered the religious leaders and the experts in the law. This scribe knew about the prophecies of the Messiah and was willing to risk everything that Jesus was that Messiah, or so it seemed. This scribe wanted to follow Jesus wherever he went, but Jesus is able to see inside the minds to know what he was truly thinking. Now, if you guys allow me to be a little bit creative here, I can almost hear what this scribe is saying right now. Step right up! Come one, come all, to see the great Messiah, folks! He is bringing the kingdom of God back to the land! He is coming to see all people of all ages and races. And if there's nothing wrong with you, you can get your picture taken with Jesus for only 5 shekels. Come today before your time runs up. The scribe knew that Jesus was going all across the land. But the reason why the scribe wanted to go along was that he knew, he was thinking that he would be gaining fame, wealth, and security by following after Jesus. But is that who Jesus really was? Did Jesus set up booths for himself so people would come see him? Or did he go to see the people where they were? When the scribe realized that Jesus did not care about the earthly gains, the scribe faded away from wanting to follow Jesus. And you might be thinking, this is all good for him to understand what he's going through, but how is that like me? And I think if we're truly honest with ourselves, don't we often try and do the same exact thing the scribe does? While our motives aren't the same, if you believe it or not, we do a lot of the same things. Don't we ask people to come to church without ever opening the Word of God to them? Don't we take delight in the fact that we're the good Christians and good citizens in a world that has very loose morals? While we should be inviting people to church for fellowship with other believers, we should always strive to follow Christ with all of our lives. We need to think about what our motives are in following Jesus. Are we doing it because of what he can accomplish for us? Or are we following Jesus because of who he is? This scribe went through his life holding on to reserves, but Jesus was calling this man to give up everything. Jesus was calling this man to live with no reserves. As we continue on in this passage, we see another man that wanted to follow Jesus, but wanted to wait to bury his father. And that seems like a really good thing to do. I mean, it would seem cruel if his dad just died to make him skip mourning period and all that type of stuff just to be with Jesus. How could Jesus have said to forget about your dad? But if we truly look in between the lines of things, would this man have truly been with Jesus had his dad just passed away? So what was really going on here? The phrase "waiting to bury my father" is something that's actually very common in the Middle East. And it meant that he was just waiting for his dad to die. It didn't mean that his dad was dying or was already dead. And this process of waiting for his dad to die, we don't know how long it was going to be. It could have been a day, a month, a year, 10, 20 years. We don't know. But what we would know is that if he waited till his dad died, he would have gotten the inheritance of his dad's wealth and would be financially secure for following Jesus wherever he went. He would not have to worry about a single thing for the rest of his life. So what Jesus was truly saying to this man, don't worry about the things the world cares about. Just follow me. Did this man want to follow Jesus? I actually think he did want to follow Jesus to a certain extent to see where things were going and what his powers could accomplish, but not to live a life according to what Jesus was calling him to. I think that sometimes we feel that we aren't like this, but we are like this at points, not all the time. We often don't get involved in somebody else's life because it might take too much of our time or maybe cost too much to do something about it. When God calls us to follow after him, we often retreat away from that calling because we are waiting for that right moment to do so. Maybe it's waiting until you graduate. Maybe it's waiting until you have that six-figure job. Maybe it's for when you're retiring. Maybe it's once your kids are out of the house. We all want the security of being able to live a life a certain way. But does that lifestyle keep us from following Christ? This man wanted to retreat away from following Jesus until he could be financially secure. But Jesus wanted him now. Jesus wanted him to live a life with no retreats. And then we have this final person in the crowd that was so adamant in saying that he wanted to follow Jesus, but all he wanted to do was go back to his hometown and just say goodbye to all of his friends and family. And we can really relate to this person because family is a huge part of our lives. But Jesus' response to this man is, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. If we are to understand what Jesus was saying, we might need to know a little bit about plowing. Plowing is something used in farming to turn the soil and planting for the seeds to grow the new crops. If you're looking where you're going, you will create these perfect rows for new seeds and your crops will grow very well. But if you take your eye off for a single second, and you end up going crooked a little bit, the rest of your field would be crooked, and your crops would be devastated because of that. So with that knowledge of plowing in mind, why did Jesus give this answer? And I'm going to sort of give you a modern concept, well, modern example of this concept. It's like texting if you're while driving. See, if you're driving like this, just going all over the place, but if your eyes are completely focused on the road, you're going to go straight. But the second you start just texting away, not worrying about where you're going, you're going to end up bumping into something, or even worse, that will be when you pass by that Camden cop who's just looking to find somebody to make his day a little bit better. By wanting to go back and say goodbye to his family, this man was willing to take his focus off of Jesus and instead put the focus on the things that he felt like he needed to do. When we focus on Jesus, we are better utilized to make better new disciples. But the second we lose focus of Jesus, we drift the wrong way and make mistakes that end up lasting forever. Now, did this man want to follow Jesus? I believe to some degree, this man truly did want to follow Jesus. But he was unwilling to follow Jesus at that moment. He wanted to be associated with Jesus and learn more about him. But he was afraid to think about what he might lose if Jesus did not work out for him. He would not get to see his family ever again. He would lose all of his financial assets. He could no longer live with the regret if he was to throw all that away, if Jesus was a false prophet. But what he failed to think about is what he would gain if he followed Jesus. And we do often fall in the same footsteps. We often say, yes, I want to follow Jesus, but I gotta do this first. We make excuses sometimes, just because of how we are, that we feel like that might satisfy God's heart. And it really doesn't satisfy him at all. If he is calling us to do something now, why aren't we doing it now? I think it's because we feel as if we will regret the things that we had planned for our own lives if we decide to follow after God. Instead of looking at the things we might miss out on if we decide to follow after God, we should focus on the things we would miss out on if we didn't follow God. Now, it may seem like I'm being a bit harsh this morning, stating that we often sometimes don't want to follow God with everything. But all of us have been in that boat at one point or another. It might be you now. Might have been you've been doing really well in following God recently. But I want everybody to think about themselves. After looking at these three men, do you feel that you are truly following after Jesus? Whether you've never made a commitment to follow Christ, or you've made a commitment longer than I've been alive for, we often say we want to follow Jesus, but we fail to do so. Do you see yourselves as one of the people in the story? Did any of them make you feel uncomfortable? Are you like the scribe, wanting to know everything about Jesus, already knowing a lot about him, and wanting to be with him, but not willing to change your life after his ways? Are you like the second man, waiting for the right moment to come along? Or are you like the last man, wanting to follow God, but you make excuses as to why you don't serve God? We may tend to act like one of these people at different points in our lives, but there is a fourth option that I want every single one of you guys today to walk out of here doing, and that is truly following after God. While these men did not follow Jesus at this moment, we have an opportunity every single day and every single time we meet with Jesus to decide to follow after him. And we can always get that new start. It's hard to fight off the fears that we might not have enough, or we might regret the things that we might miss out on. But God's plan is bigger than anything that we can imagine. I started off my message this morning with a story about William Borden and a life of no reserves. I want you guys to listen to the rest of this story and try and model your life after his example, because it truly will transform not only your life, but the lives of the people around you. While Borden was wealthy, he arrived at Yale University in 1905, just trying to blend in with everybody else. Very quickly, however, Borden's classmates saw something very different in him, and it was not that he had a lot of money. They saw his total devotion to Christ, and that he wanted to bring others to that same faith. And during his college years, Borden wrote something in his journal that defined what his classmates said to him. And listen to this closely. He wrote, "Say yes to Jesus every time and say no to yourself." But as Borden spent time at Yale, he realized that most people were there to learn about an empty humanistic philosophy instead of the Word of God. During his first semester at Yale, he started this small group that would transform that campus. It started off as five people meeting one morning. By the end of the first year, it was up to 150 people at Yale University gaining the Word of God on a weekly basis. By the time he was a senior, 1,000 of the 1,300 people at Yale University were attending these studies. And it was just because of one man who was willing to step out. While he was a millionaire, Borden seemed to realize that he must always be about his father's business and not wasting time in the pursuit of amusement. Upon graduation, Borden turned down many high-paying job offers to continue in ministry. In his Bible, he wrote two more words, "No retreats." He then went on to seminary at Princeton. Once he finished at Princeton, he sailed for China. Because he was hoping to work with the Muslims, he decided to stop in Egypt first to learn about Arabic. While there, he contracted spinal meningitis, and within a month, 25-year-old William Borden was dead. The news of his death spread quickly across the world, and both Christians and non-Christians felt horrible about his death. Many thought he had just wasted his whole entire life. But was his death ultimately a waste? Not from his perspective, and definitely not from God's perspective. Prior to his death, Borden had written two more words in his Bible. Underneath the words, "no reserves" and "no retreats," there is also two words, "no regrets." I'm asking you this morning, are we living a life with no reserves, no retreats, and no regrets? I don't know the answer for each one of you personally, but currently as a church, we've been doing a pretty good job. We've been able to do so because we've kept our focus on Jesus. But I know there are some of you here that have committed your life to Christ so many years ago and thinking God is not calling you outside of your comfort zone. You hear these announcements about mentoring to the kids from that one group. You hear about the Victory Roads ministries. And you say, that's not for me, that's for somebody else. And that while that might be true, what if that's what God is calling you to do and you're not doing it? Or maybe you've been here this morning and you're thinking, I have not put any of my focus on Jesus at all. How can Jesus still call me to follow him? And the answer to the question is yes. Jesus is still calling for each one of us to follow after him. These three men in Luke 9 were not perfect by any means, but Jesus was still calling them to follow after his ways. But we can be different by actually following Jesus in this path. We can live this life of no reserves, no retreats, and no regrets. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll be singing one last song. But before we leave, if you feel like you need to do something to fully follow after Jesus today, whether it's doing something that's outside your comfort zone, maybe it's following after God for the first time, don't leave here without praying with somebody else. Whether that means grabbing the person next to you during the last song and going out to pray, maybe it's just sitting in your chair and waiting for somebody to come after the service to pray with you and talk with you about it. Do not leave here without having other people in your life to help you follow after the path that Jesus has for you. God is calling each one of us to follow after him. Allow ourselves to live a life following after his ways with no reserves, no retreats, and no regrets. Let us pray. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to open up your word. I thank you so much that no matter what we've done, you're calling each and every one of us to follow after you. Help us to live a life with no reserves, no retreats, and no regrets. In Jesus' name, amen.